Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Today is September 1st, year 2013, and it's the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Today's lecture is going to be titled, The Sins That Send Men to Hell. Now, we were talking about the first time how God loves all men, but unfortunately only few men get saved. Why is that? Because men don't love God back. For you to be saved, you have to return that love to God, and you have to love God back. We taught that loving God, you know you love God when you obey all of His commandments, and you love the truth. So you got to love the truth and obey all His commandments. All of His commandments, all 10 of them. Now, His commandments consist of faith commandments, which are called dogmas on faith, and dogmas on moral, living a moral life too. So first and foremost, to be saved, you have to have the Catholic faith. You have to know the basics of our Catholic dogmas, and you have to have the Catholic faith and believe in a Catholic God. Then you have to be living a moral life. That encompasses all of God's commandments. We read, even back in the Old Testament, that's how you were saved, by obeying the one true God, obeying all of His commandments, worshiping the one true God, as the Jews did, the good Jews in the Old Covenant, the faithful Jews, worshiped the God of Israel. That's what He was called back then, the God of Israel. He's still the God of Israel, but He's now the God of the Catholic Church also. So we see Moses, when he was coming down from, and he went up to get the commandments too, and he brought them down, the Ten Commandments. We read in Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28, where Moses says, speaking for God, "Behold, I set forth in your sight this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God, but revolt from the way which I now show you, and walk after strange gods who you know not." So now he's telling them, if you obey the true God, all these beautiful good things are going to happen. And the best thing is going to be you're going to save your soul for all eternity. If you don't obey God, the opposite happens. All these curses come upon you, so you're going to be a miserable bastard in this life, and then you're never going to get to heaven. You're going to go to hell for all eternity. Jesus said the same thing. It's the same God. God of the Old Covenant is the same as the God of the New Covenant. The God you're on the Old Testament is the same God as the New Testament, period. Jesus Christ is God, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. And He says in Matthew 19, 17,
"Shall enter into life, keep the commandments."
Yes, if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments. But if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments, which refutes the Protestant heretics today who tell you, all I got to do is say I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. I can do whatever I want. I can rape, I can pillage, I can rob, I can plunder. I can do all that and say, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. I don't have to do any good works. What a big lie that is. That is probably the worst religion you can ever believe in. That's a prescription for chaos, a prescription for crime. Even Attila the Hun, pagan as he was, probably worshiping 10 gods or something. In his religions, they had a concept of justice. You know, if you do this, you're going to go to whatever they call their hell. So the heretic Martin Luther came along with that heresy, where he said, all I got to do is say I believe in Jesus, which is the faith commandments, but I don't got to do any good works. I don't got to obey God's commandments. I don't have to, nothing's going to happen to me if I violate His commandments. Jesus, Matthew 19, 17. But if thou'll enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, St. Paul tells us, and we're going to just go over a list, I call these a list of sins that will send you to hell. And St. Paul, in several of his epistles, and our Lord and St. John, in the book of the Apocalypse, tells us these are some of the sins, just some of the sins that if you're committing, you're on the road to hell, just because of these sins alone. So when I read them out, I want the people to examine their consciences. I want them to understand that if they're committing these sins alone, that those sins alone will send them to hell. So you need to have all the faith and you need to have all the moral laws. St. Paul says in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wraths, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I foretold you, and as I have foretold to you that they do who such things shall not obtain the kingdom of heaven." And I'll stop and mention my own life. Even mentioning fornication. When I converted to God and I was getting off of my fornications, I was like a pagan. I was a pagan. I lived as bad as anyone could live out there. I was filled with demons of lust and fornication. And and when I read this, it struck my heart because I said, no, St. Paul says, you're going to hell, Richard, for what you're doing. You ain't going to get off the hook. You know the excuse I made for myself? I said, well, we're only human. We're weak. God will forgive us. No, God will not forgive you unless you obey his commandment. Here's how God will forgive you. And he finally did, because I said, Lord, you said that you can make it possible for me never to sin again and to be pure and not to fornicate or have any sins of impurity or abuse myself or anything. I asked God to please force me to be clean through the intercession of the Blessed Mother. And within 6 months, I was clean of something I was addicted to my whole life. How could that be if it isn't by God's grace? And I asked him to do that for me. See, but what got me to do that too, particularly as I read in these verses, like when St. Augustine opened up the Bible verse, open, he says, no more impurities, no more fornications. And I read it and it stuck me. And it's saying, no, Richard, you're going to go to hell on that alone. On just that alone. And then, you know what God, we'll get into this in this lecture later. Then God told me, Richard, your main problem is not even your sins of immorality. Your main problem is your sins against the faith, because you didn't know me. You didn't know the Catholic faith. You weren't reading the scriptures. You weren't studying. You weren't knowing me. And because you didn't want to know me and you didn't study about me and you didn't study your faith, I put you under the sins of immorality. That's your main problem. So start learning the faith. Start wanting to get to know the Catholic God and the Catholic faith, and I will start to lift these immoralities from you. So what I'm trying to tell the people out here when you're reading this, don't let the devil lie to you. Don't listen to Martin Luther, who said, as long as I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. St. Paul said, if you're committing any one of these sins, he says, you shall not obtain the kingdom of heaven. I don't care who it is. And let it sink into your heart. We're reading this same thing St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. Know you not that the unjust shall not possess the kingdom of God? Do not err, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor the liars with mankind, homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor railers, nor extortioners shall possess the kingdom of God. There it is again, another verse that stings you. And to help people out there that are addicted, anytime somebody's committing a mortal sin for a long time, they're addicted to it. It's like a habit. They don't think they can ever overcome it, but in the beginning, really, you can't overcome it on your own. You can't. You got to go to God. And that's what happened to me. I got down and I couldn't conceive myself overcoming fornication because I've been doing it you can't conceive it. I said to God through the Blessed Mother Mary, I said, God, you said it's possible. I can't stop myself on my own. And if you got to tie my hands behind my back, if you got to beat me up, do what you got to do. Make me clean. That's all you got to say to God. And he'll do it. He'll start working with you. And then you start praying and you ask for that. And he waits for that prayer. And then he will make you clean. Whatever your mortal sin, it doesn't have to be fornication. You could be a thief, a mafia guy that's out there robbing people, or kids that mugging people. You're stealing cars, or you're a drunkard. You're drinking too much when you get drunk, or you're a drug addict. Whatever it is, God can cure you from it. But let the fear of God first come on you to know that you're not going to go to heaven by doing those things. I did fool myself for a while. I sat back and I kept saying, God's not going to punish us because we're weak. He's merciful. Yeah, he is merciful. And his mercy is there to tell you, to give you the grace to make you stop doing what you're doing. He's not going to allow you to continue what you're doing and save you in that condition. You have to cooperate with God's grace. Get up off from your excuses and tell God, help me not to do this no more. That's God's mercy. The fact that he didn't kill me back then, he could have and sent me right to hell. So you have to cooperate with God's grace. You have to ask him. St. Paul's clearly telling you, if you're committing these sins, you ain't going to go to heaven. The beloved St. John in the book of the Apocalypse, 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving, all the non-Catholics, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, witches and warlocks, idolaters, pagans and worshiping false gods, and all liars, they shall have their portion in the pool burning with fire and brimstone. So he's saying, this is what awaits you. This is the word of God speaking. You want to weasel out of it? Go ahead. They want to leave these verses away from you today. When you get into the nominal Catholics, nominal means they're not really Catholic, they're apostates, you go to their churches, they do all the nice verses. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants all men to be saved, you know. Jesus is all good, you know, and be merciful. They never quote these verses I'm quoting to. They leave them out. Jesus has mercy and he has wrath. He's just and he's merciful. He's both. And when God sends people to hell, it's out of justice and it's out of mercy. Because imagine if God led all these gangsters into heaven. What would it be in heaven? If I sent you into the worst prison, in the United States, a real bad prison where you got these hardened criminals, they're raping the inmates, they're nasty, they're filthy, they're beating everybody up, stealing everything you have. If I opened up that prison, you went into a prison like that, is that heaven? That ain't heaven. That's hell. And that's why God sends people to hell, because he doesn't want his heaven to be defiled. He wants it to be a holy place, an honest place, a clean place, a good place. And no, God's chosen people aren't wimps. God's not a wimp. He'll kick an ass when he has to, and he'll kill you when he has to, and he'll send you to hell when he has to. It's a battle. It's God's chosen people against the evildoers in the world. Now, our first thing to the evildoer is to try to convert him, to get him away from his evil ways. But if he starts becoming obstinately evil and affecting us in a very negative way, then he must be punished to the severity of his crime. Now, there's the beloved St. John speaking that in Apocalypse 21:8. Now, we read, again, St. Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, lust, envy, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is the service of idols, for which things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of unbelief, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. He's talking about the converts. He says, you were like them at one time. Now you're Catholic. These are the people that converted and came in and got baptized. But now put you also away anger, indignation, malice, blasphemy, filthy speech out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, stripping yourselves of the old man with his deeds and putting on the new. Get rid of the old man. When God was killing me and he got rid of my old man, I broke every one of God's commandments. When he was doing this to me, I really felt like I was being killed. I mean killed. I thought I was killed. And I was thanking God for it, because he was killing my old passions, my old man, and he put a new heart in me. Like King David said, create a new heart in me. Renew a right spirit within me and create a new heart in me. And that's what our Lord talked about, creating a new man. If anybody knew me when I was before, I'm a different man. That's what the Lord says, to be born again truly. And only Catholics can really truly be born again. Don't listen to all these Protestants that tell you being born again. Ain't one of them born again. They're still children of the devil, no matter how much they think they're born again. Only Catholics can be born again, because the Catholic Church is God's only church. The Catholic faith is God's the one true faith, and the Catholic religion is the one true religion. The Catholic God is the one true God. There is no other. All the Protestants are really worshiping false gods, even, and false Jesuses. So, and that's what happens to somebody when he truly converts. Now, we read about how Jesus Christ himself is telling us that even most people, when they become Catholic and they have the faith, that even most of them go to hell because they commit sins of immorality. We read that last week about how few are saved, but Jesus is talking to people that are like, that are Catholics, and are saying, you know, hey, Lord, you know, we did miracles, we preached in your name, I'm Catholic, I did this, I did that. And as I said last week, even most Catholics go to hell. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Do the will of his Father. Keep all the commandments. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And cast out devils in thy name, and done many miracles in thy name. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So God could even give the power of miracles for the sake of other people to convert them. But he himself is going to go to hell because he's breaking one or more of God's moral commandments. St. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I chastise myself or bring my body into subjection. At least perhaps when I preach the gospel, I myself become a castaway. St. Paul, who had done all these miracles, was well aware of the fact that that's not enough. You can still fall away. He speaks of the same thing, I think, in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. He says, if I should know all mysteries, and I should have all faith to remove mountains, and hath not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If I should be Catholic and really have the faith and do a miracle to move a mountain, if I am committing, breaking one of God's moral commandments, I'm going to hell. I'm on the road to hell. I'm not going to save myself. So profit me nothing. Even if you just hate your brother or you hate even your enemy, you're supposed to love even your enemies. True charity, get rid of hatreds in your heart, animosities, not being nasty. Sometimes if somebody is perpetual nasty, that's like a sin against the fifth commandment, almost like murder. Why are you hating people? You can abhor people. There's nothing wrong with that if they're doing something that's grossly unjust. And you can even kill them if you have to. But hating, no, you got to get rid of that hate, hatred, which can eat you up. All right, now, as I said before in the beginning, that when I was converting, and God said that, Richard, your main problem were sins against the faith because you didn't study your faith. You think you're Catholic. You're not. You're an apostate. You're a nominal Catholic. How dare I call myself Catholic anyway? Really think about it. All I did was go to Mass on Sunday. I even stopped doing that eventually. But and you go to confession on Saturday, Mass on Sunday, and during the week, I don't even mention the holy name of Jesus. I don't read the scriptures. I don't know the faith. If you came up and told me when I was back then, I'm an idiot. I knew nothing about Christ. I knew nothing about our faith. So how can I call myself Catholic? And that's what God's telling me. How dare you call yourself a Catholic? You got some there. That's why Catholics, nominal Catholics, shudder when a Jehovah's Witness knocks on the door, or a Mormon knocks on the door to try to convert you because you don't know the Bible verses, and he throws a couple Bible verses, and you slam the door, and you don't know what to say, because we don't know the faith. All right. Now we're going to read that. We call that the Romans 1 curse. Romans 1 curse, St. Paul talks about it in Romans 1, you're going to read it in a minute here, where he talks about, because you didn't have the faith, God turns you over to a reprobate sense, to do things that are not good, to do evil things, sinful things, hateful things, and you become miserable. But now, the Romans 1 curse was also stated in the Book of Wisdom, chapter 14, and the prophet Osi states it too, but we're going to read about it in the Book of Wisdom first, chapter 14, 22 to 28. This is a powerful verse if we just contemplate this in. For the beginning of fornication is the devising of idols, and the invention in them is the corruption of all life. He says the reason you fell into these sins of immorality of your flesh and lust is because you were following false gods and practicing false religions. And it was not enough for them to err about the knowledge of God, but wherein as they lived in a great war of ignorance, they called so many and great evils peace. And they thought they were blessed. They were following all these false gods and idols. And they said, hey, we're at peace. We're doing okay. He says, for either they sacrifice their own children or use hidden sacrifices or keep watches full of madness, so that now they neither keep life nor marriage undefiled, but one killeth another through envy or grieveth him by adultery. And all things are mingled together, blood, murder, theft, and dissimulation, corruption and unfaithfulness, tumults and perjury, disquieting of the good, forgetfulness of God, defiling of souls, changing of nature, homos, transgender people, like that freak this week that just came out. What's his name? That Bradley Manning says, call me Chelsea, you filthy pig, you slob. You know, regardless of anything else in regard to that case, he ought to be ashamed of himself. And they love to put this stuff up on the press, right? That guy would be killed for being so bold. I'd give him 1 month to repent, and he's dying anyway. Disorder in marriage and the irregularity of adultery and uncleanness. Uncleanness when you abuse yourself. Masturbation. You abuse yourself. That's a mortal sin. You go to hell for that alone. And so all these pornography, looking at pornography. For the worship of abominable idols, false gods, false religions, is the cause and the beginning and the end of all evil. For either they are mad when they are merry, or they prophesy lies, or they unjustly or easily forswear themselves. And here it is again. Because you're worshiping a false god, you're going to be put under these gross sins of immorality. Now, St. Paul speaks about this very clearly in Romans chapter 1. That's why we call it the Romans 1 curse, where he says, because you do not know the true God, and those of you who knew him, and because you don't worship him as the true God, and you're unfaithful to him, I'm going to turn you over to all these types of sins. It's called the Romans 1 curse. We're going to read from Romans 1, chapter 21 to 32. Because that when they knew God, they have not glorified him as God. They became heretics or schismatics and were not really faithful to him, or given thanks, but became vain in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened. For professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of the image of corruptible man's and of birds and of four-footed beasts and of creeping things. They turned over to worship in idols, away from the true God. And you don't have to be an idol worshiper. You can become a heretic and fall out of the church, and you're worshiping a false god that way also. Muslims, Talmud of Jews, these are all worshiping false gods. Wherefore, God gave them up to the desires of their heart, unto uncleanness, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God delivered them up to shameful affections, for their women having changed the natural use into that which is against nature, women with women and men with men. And in like manner, the men also, leaving the natural use of the woman, having burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is filthy, homosexuals, lesbians, transgenders. They hate this word of God. This is the word of God. You're never going to escape it. You think you could. When you die, you don't escape it, because you get judged immediately and go straight to hell. And at the end of the world, when everything's all mopped up, Jesus Christ is going to come and kill every evildoer, send him to hell, and there'll be no more evil upon the face of the earth. So ultimately, what I'm saying to you people, you homos, you're winning today, you think you're winning. You're in the spotlight, you think everything's good, but your day's going to come. And you're not going to last forever. And when you die, you go straight to hell. And in the end, you're never going to take over this world that God has created. Christ is going to come the second time and burn it up with fire and send every one of these evildoers down to hell and every one of their sins. There will be no more sin left upon the face of the earth. You don't want to listen to the word of God? That's your problem. And you're going to pay the price of it on your judgment day. And everybody has a law upon their heart. You don't even have to read the word of God to know this about the homo thing. There's certain laws that we're talking about here on the moral laws that are laws that are written upon every man's heart. That's why no matter how much a homo, he gets laws passed saying he's okay. They're miserable bastards. They're not okay and they know it. And God's going to never let them feel like they're okay. A drunkard, a drug addict knows he's not okay. I don't care how much he thinks he's okay. He does his drug and feels good for a while. When he's down off of it, he feels bad. He knows he's not okay. It's a law upon the heart. So he's now talking, that was the homo sins he's talking about there. And he says, and in like manner, the men also leaving the natural use of the woman have burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is filthy, and receiving in themselves the recompense which is due to their error, their whole miserable lifestyle, the AIDS that God now afflicted them with, and all the other venereal types of diseases that come along with it, along with their just general miserable life. God will never allow you to be truly happy. You can think you're happy for about 5, 10 minutes, an hour. The rest of your life is mostly miserable. And as they like not to have God in their knowledge, the Catholic God, God delivered them up to a reprobate sense to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with iniquity, malice, fornication, avarice, wickedness, full of envy, murder, contention, deceit, malignity, whisperers, detractors, hateful to God, contumelious, proud, haughty, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, foolish, dissolute, without affection, without fidelity, without mercy, who, having known the justice of God, did not understand that they who do such things are worthy of death, and not only that do them, but they that consent to them that do them. And here's a whole other list of sins he's talking about. They're going to send you to hell, put you onto the road to hell. And how could you have a happy society and a happy city with these kinds of sins being committed? All God was trying to tell us, I'm coming to try to tell you people how to live the good life. Now, it's a big thing I tell people, that the devil fools you. He thinks that obeying God's commandment is hard and that sinning is easy. It's the opposite, it really is. If you're addicted to sin, you think it's easy and you're addicted to it. It's hard to get out of. But once you escape the sinful habit and you follow the law of God, God's way is easy. God's way is joyful. God's way is sweet. Our Lord said in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is sweet, my burden is light. It really is. It's the good way. It's the holy way. And it is the easy way. And it makes society happy. True joy comes through obeying God. That's all God's trying to tell us. Look what you people are doing in this world when you turn on the news. It's a happy place. Get out. You're going to be out of your mind. Nobody stays married today. Husbands cheat on their wives. Wives cheat on their husbands. Where's the happiness in that? They don't really care about their children. They pawn their children off to other people, to third-party people to take care of them. You know, because they don't want to really take care of the kids the right way. The whole world is a cesspool of iniquity and chaos. Now, the prophet Osi also in the Old Testament talks about the Romans 1 curse himself. It's the same God. It's the same types of sins that were being committed from the fall of Adam and Eve. We read in Osi 5:1-7. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord shall enter into judgment with the inhabitants of the land. For there is no truth and there is no mercy. So they didn't even have the truth anymore. They gave up the true faith of Judaism. They were practicing worship in idols, Baals, false gods. And here he says it. And there is no knowledge of God in the land. It's just what St. Paul was saying. No knowledge of God. Cursing and lying and killing and theft and adultery have overflowed and blood hath touched blood. My people have been silent because they had no knowledge. And because ours rejected knowledge, back then Judaism, now the Catholic faith, which is the one true faith. Back then Judaism was the true faith in the old covenant era. Because you rejected it, I will reject thee. That thou shalt not do the office of priesthood to me, and thou hast forgotten the law of God, and I will also forget thy children. Here he's saying, you can call yourself a Catholic priest, you can call yourself a pope, you can call yourself a cardinal, you can call yourself a Catholic bishop. You're not, because you don't have the faith. And he's telling them right here, you think you're doing the office, you're not. All your fasts are sacrilegious. You're not getting any grace, you're getting cursed from God here. And thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also will forget thy children. I will curse your own kids. I will put them under a curse. And you will see all. Now, it doesn't mean that that kid can't come out of the curse, but he's born into a cursed family. He's born into that situation. He's got to bear that burden. When he gets old enough, if he's got some goodwill, he can get away from that family, turn to God and say, deliver me from my nutty family and help me to come back to you. That's what our Lord says. Anybody who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of the kingdom of God. You have to actually love God above all things. According to the multitude of them, so they have sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They shall eat the sins of my people and shall lift up their souls to their iniquity. And there shall be like people like priests. And I will visit their ways upon them and I will repay them their devices. And they shall eat and shall not be filled. They shall have committed fornication and have not ceased because they have forsaken the Lord and not observing his law. For the spirit of fornication had deceived them, and they have committed fornication against their God. I will visit upon your daughters, and they shall commit fornication, and upon your spouses, when they shall commit adultery, because they themselves conversed with harlots, and offered up sacrifice with the effeminate, and the people that doth not understand shall be beaten. The effeminate, again, homosexuals, and not just even homos, just effeminate and very weak in judging people. Non-judgmentalists, non-punishmentalists. Don't hurt nobody. Don't punish anybody. Get the little Mr. Rogers. He's effeminate. Mr. Rogers, that little faggot freak. Mr. Rogers, that guy will be hung up on a thing, upside down, skin peeled. That guy, what's wrong with that guy? Oh, hi, cuties. That's effeminate, you know. God first made a man to be a man, and he even tells women to be manly in that sense. This is effeminacy. Now we're going to get into OC 4, 1 to 15. Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, O ye house of Israel, and give ear, O house of the king, for there is judgment against you, because you have been a snare to them who you should have watched over, you nominal Catholic priests, over a net spread upon Tabor, and you have turned aside victims into the depth. Israel is defiled. These Catholics are defiled. They're apostates. They will not set their thoughts to return to their God. They don't want to return to the true Catholic Church and the true Catholic faith. For the spirit of fornication is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Look at all the pedophilia that they're doing. That's the worst crime at the bottom level that you can get when you start taking little kids and start abusing them. I mean, come on, can anybody think anything worse than that? How bad you got to be for many years before you can get to that point. And the pride of Israel shall answer in his face, and Israel and Ephraim shall fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. With their flocks and with their herds, they shall go to seek the Lord and shall not find him. He is withdrawn from them. They have transgressed against the Lord, and they have begotten children that are strangers. They're not true Catholics. I was one of these bastard kids. I was born that way. I'm proof you can come out of it, by the way. So don't despair, no matter who you are out there. But get away from your crazy family members and come into the true church, and then try to convert your family members too. After that. They have transgressed against the Lord. They have begotten children that are strangers. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. And then Proverbs 17:16 says, he that refuses to learn shall fall into evils. So again, back to the beginning of how you end up obeying God's commandments. The first thing you want to obey is the faith commandments, because without that, you can't save your soul. All right, so you need to obey all of God's commandments. You need to know the Catholic faith, study it, come into the Catholic Church and be Catholic, and then obey after you're Catholic, then obey all his moral commandments. All of them. A Catholic who's in a state of grace, if he commits one mortal sin, his soul is dead. And if he dies that way, he goes straight to hell. That's why we have confession. And you can when you have a Catholic priest, but we don't have one right now, we would confess our sins to a Catholic priest because he has the power to remit sins. John 23, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they retain. John 20:23. And now we don't have Catholic priests, so you confess your sin to God, with the promise to go to a Catholic priest when we have one, and God will remit your sins. That's how a Catholic gets out from his mortal sins. But if you're not in the church and you're not Catholic yet, you're a catechumen or a choir, you want to come into the church, you can't even have your sins remitted until you first come into the church. So first step is to learn the Catholic faith, study the Catholic religion, come into the Catholic church, and obey all of God's commandments. That's how you save your soul. And that proves that you love God. And by loving God, you love the truth and you obey all of his commandments. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.